LJ, we have spoken to Nathie Gaffney before about online dating, and last time we spoke a couple of weeks ago, there was some mention of a first kiss.
Yeah, she threatened to come back and talk about kisses. In fact, I think she's been practicing a bit because, well, look, let's set the story. Nathie has been online dating. She's a personal impact specialist and helps coach people. So she's been blogging about online dating and how important getting the first kiss right it really is. Yes. So good morning, Nathie.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very well, thanks, Nathie. Now, you were at a seminar on Friday. Was this a first kiss seminar?
Oh, no, it wasn't a first kiss seminar. But I tell you what, I could probably hold one.
I reckon you could. People need help with that stuff, hey?
They really do. It's become, you know, people aren't sure how to make the first move. You know, it's become such a minefield of. You know, people even feel like, am I making the right move? And if I don't make the right move, you know, will I, you know, does it signal the death knell?
Listen, it was scary enough at 24 when we were young and beautiful. How terrifying must it be at 52 to go back into the water?
Oh, sure.
And, you know, where's your confidence? You think, oh, is this all right? Is it not all right?
Yeah,
really terrifying.
Absolutely. And it's different. It's different for men than it is for women because, generally speaking, women are waiting for the man to make the first move with the first kiss. Whereas for men, see, we don't think that there's a lot of fear out there for men, you know, how to make the right move. You know, men know that, you know, women like them to make them laugh. But, you know, I mean, how appropriate is making them laugh? Do I wheel out the locker room jokes?
Yeah, or the dad jokes.
Am I supposed to be witty? Am I, you know, is sarcasm the lowest form of wit, or in fact, does it demonstrate intelligence? Poor men, the poor blokes are really, they're doing it tough out there.
So you're taking notes and you think, okay, I'll start off with three Irishmen went into a bar. Okay, time for the first kiss?
No,
Okay. No,
all right, hang on. I'll scratch that one out. Okay, I'm asking these questions 40 years too late. I know, but there you go.
it's never too late. But look, the thing is, life is a series of first impressions, and certainly from a dating perspective, when you're meeting someone, the first impression, if you're online dating, obviously, is the profile. Then if you like the profile, which is the picture and the words that someone's written, then you might start chatting. If the chat goes well, then you might have a date. If the date goes well, at some point, either the first or the second date is going to lead to the first kiss. So all these stages are a series of first impressions.
And do you help people get their profile right? Like, is that part of your coaching, that someone would come and say, okay, I really need a relationship. My life doesn't feel full without it. Can you help me? Do you actually coach people through it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, though, Lisa Jane, even before that, it's identifying where people are at in their lives. When I started dating, I went bang straight onto eHarmony. All right, let's dive in here. Mm. And what I realised is, after 6 months of going, this is hideous.
Terrifying.
Well, it wasn't the platform that was to blame. It was, I was still grieving. I actually wasn't ready. And because I hadn't actually identified that in myself, then, of course, the experience that I was having was really less than satisfactory. Mm. And I attributed it to, online dating sucks, it's not for me. But really, I was still grieving the loss of a 15-year marriage.
Lots of people would be grieving their marriage, but is that, do you think you shouldn't start a relationship, you know, until you're completely over your marriage? I mean, surely that's part of the process of getting over your marriage, is getting out there and meeting other people.
It can be, and I'm not saying that's the approach for everyone, but for me, I had to take some time to understand why it wasn't working. And why wasn't it working for me was that I was still grieving. You know, for some people it is part of the recovery process. Other people need to leave themselves, you know. And so for some people who come to me with my dating profile's not working, I look at the language that they're using in their profile. You must like children because I've got three. Must like cats because I've got three. You know, it's all about the approach, and it's asking those questions of where are people at in their dating timeline. It's, you know, maybe they're not ready to be there.
See, the guy you're going out with doesn't know your background. to that extent, does he? So he's trying to read between the lines and thinking, okay, at what stage do I go for the first kiss? When does it happen? It's going to be so different for everyone, and it depends so much on personalities, mm-hmm. but also your background, as you were just describing. You're not ready. You mightn't be ready for that first kiss for the several dates.
And that's why it's really important to read the body language.
Yeah.
It's really vital, and it's a huge, you know, it's a huge, when you're nervous, you're not picking up on these signs. But let's assume that you're ready to lock lips.
Okay. Yep, okay.
Let's
assume that you're ready to lock lips.
Okay, you've taken the mint.
Do you want my 5 top tips?
Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to talk about the men. Now, there's no doubt that soft, luscious lips are the ideal kissing environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, now a lot of men, Australian men and English men, haven't got those big Latino or Italian luscious lips. They've got thin lips.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So okay. I know it sounds silly, but it's really important. So if you are less than well endowed in the lip department, it's really important to know that thin lips can't be surrounded by stubble. You know, it's like letting the bush grow right up to the boundary line. You've got to maximise the smooth kissing surface. So if you're going for facial hair, it needs to be hips to bearded up and soft, or design a goatee to allow for maximum smoothness around the lip.
I'm just looking at Murray, because Murray has been growing a beard and a moustache, and I did say to him, how does your wife feel about that?
She's not too fussed.
She's not too fussed.
But we're past the first kiss stage.
But if it's soft, then it could be lovely. The second thing is the tongue. Let's talk about the tongue. I know it's breakfast radio, but let's talk about the tongue.
Yes.
You can't dive in with the tongue straight away.
No,
I mean, if you think about it, the first kiss is like being invited into someone's home for the first time.
Right.
When the door is open, you barge straight in and up and down the hallways and into all the rooms before you've said hello to the host.
What a great analogy.
You knock at the door and you wait to be invited.
That's exactly right. And which brings me to the next thing, your delivery. Now, all tongues are soft, or they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're using your tongue like a battering ram, now, if you need a reference, just watch any Game of Thrones episode.
Right.
You need to change that immediately, because that screams lack of finesse.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So my favourite tip for getting the tongue action right is go to your favourite gelato outlet. Buy an ice cream and practice savouring the flavours. This will definitely help with your technique, and it's pretty yummy as well.
Yes. Next time I'm at a gelato shop, I'm going to watch the way people eat their gelato.
You're outrageous.
The thing is, it's like watching someone on a dance floor. And I don't know about you, LJ, but I always watched boys' moves on the dance floor. And if they were good on the dance floor, if they had rhythm on the dance floor, they were going to have rhythm in the bedroom.
It's true, Nate.
It's the same. And it's the same with sensuality. If you're a sensitive person and you've got, you know, if you're a good kisser, chances are that the next stage is going to be a pretty nice experience as well. So you don't want to stuff it up.
Well, there's a lot in there, and look, we could talk about it all day, as you know, but we have a certain amount of time. I would also just like to, you know, table for our next discussion that I don't think that the kiss and the, you know, the physical is everything. I think there's a whole lot more to a relationship. For me, anyway, there's got to be a lot of sort of emotional and intellectual kind of, you know, meeting of minds going on. But anyway, that's a whole other
talk about the meeting of the mind.
Okay.
That's our next chat.
Great.
Yes. Well, in the meantime, this has been a lot of fun. I've taken notes. I'm buggered if I know why, but I've taken some notes. Anyway.
You never know when you might be able to pass on the wisdom, Murray.
Well, you never know.
You can teach your son, Murray.
Pay it forward. It could be your random act. It's not a random act of kindness. It'll be a random act of kissing knowledge. You know what? If you want to share my blog on the top 5 kissing tips, that's available at nathyg.com too, on my blog.
Will Terrific. Do.
Nathy, thanks for your time this morning. It's been fun.
You're welcome, guys. Happy kissing.